Now, the thing I want to talk about this morning is victory. I think so often, if I just think about the songs that we just sang, where we sing about the chains that's broken over our lives, where we sing about that we've got victory and that Satan has got no hold over us. But then my question is, if you look at the lives of Christians like ourselves, Christians going to church every Sunday, Christians standing in faith for different things, but so often not living a life of victory. It's like there's a missing link, isn't it? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe your life is just everything perfect and sorted. But I think so often as Christians, we are reborn Christians that really trust God for stuff, but we don't always see that breakthrough. And maybe there's some of you, some of us here this morning that is in a place where you say, but you know, yes, I've got faith in God and all that stuff. I'm coming to church and I do everything, but I need victory. I'm not living a life of victory. And a life of victory in Christianity is not a life where you don't have any troubles. It's not a life where you're rich or anything like that. It's a life where things go wrong. You get difficulties, all that kind of stuff. But while being in that difficult places, you can still rejoice. And I almost want to say your mood isn't determined according to the stuff, the situation you're in, or the things that happen around you. So although we go through difficult times, although we get into places where bad things happen, we still rejoice. We still have got peace, and life can carry on. That's victory. It's being in a place where things is difficult around you sometimes, but you're not controlled by that. So that your situation and your circumstances doesn't control you. Because if you're in a place where your situation and your circumstances got the ability to control you, that's not a life of freedom. So therefore, we need to step out of that place. And although there will still be difficult times, your situation, circumstances don't control you, you control it. Because you see, that's the place which God has called us for. That's the life God has called us for. So, if you, this morning, you feel, okay, but maybe in your life, you need victory in certain areas of your life, then today is for you. If you feel maybe that you know some people, and you've been praying for them, and you've been trusting God for victory for them, then today is for you. Because you can share this with them. But you can also stand in the gap. You can stand in faith for other people. So today, there's basically what I want to do is I've got, let's call it, two keys for a life of victory. Now, of course, I think there's, in our Christian life, there's a lot of things that's important. There's a lot of things that God's expecting from us, all that kind of stuff. But I just want to focus on two keys, two things I really think is important if we want to walk into or step into a life of victory, things we really need. And the first one we find in 1 John 5 verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So right there, our first key is faith. So you see, if we want to step into a place of victory, if we want to get out of that place where we feel but the world is controlling us, but we want to change that around, then the first thing we need is faith, according to Scripture. Another Scripture is Matthew 17, verse 20. I want to call it the B part. "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So what it says is you must say to the mountain in front of you to move if you've got faith like a mustard seed. That's very small. And that mountain will move. But you see, the thing about faith, it's about realizing that if you look at your mountain, or if you look at your giant, or if you look at your circumstances, faith, what it's all about is not comparing that to you and your abilities, but comparing that to the one you worship. It's all about comparing that to God. Because you see, if there's a mountain standing in front of you and you want to tell that mountain to move, and you look at that mountain, you look at yourself, there's not going to be any faith. But if you look at that mountain standing in front of you and you look towards God, then all of a sudden that mountain becomes very small. And you see, that's what God is calling us for. That's what faith is all about. It's not looking at our own abilities, but looking towards the abilities of God, about the things that He's capable of, about the things that He can do. So faith is about believing that God is bigger than our circumstances. That's what faith is all about. James 5, verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Again, talking about faith. So at this stage, I want to ask the question, did anyone ever told you, just believe? Did anyone ever told you, as long as you believe, everything will be fine? Have you heard that? May I tell you it's a lie? And why I say that, I'll show it to you out of Scripture. James 2 from verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So what that verse is saying, we'll carry on now, but what that verse is saying is just believing is not enough. You see, sometimes we think, but as long as I believe, everything will be sorted out. Just believe. But this verse is saying, no. Just believing, just having faith is not enough. Verse 15, we carry on from there. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. May I read that again? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abram, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? As for the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Shocker, isn't it? Faith on its own is not going to cut it. See, what it's saying here is you can believe all you want, but if that's all you're going to do, you're not going to make it. So often, I think what happens is we find ourselves in circumstances where we've got all the faith in the world, but our circumstances doesn't change. And a lot of times that's because we were standing on faith on its own. Because that's not what we're supposed to do. So according to the scripture, what it does, it talks about works. But now this works is not always going out to do something, but it's always action. So together with your faith, there always needs to be an action. And that action is basically the second key I want to talk about this morning. And we've read about what that action should be twice this morning already. I don't know if you've noticed it, the second key. Because like I said, the first key is faith. And the second key, I'll just read the scriptures we already read again. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. The second key is prayer. It's that simple. The prayer of faith will save that person. The prayer of faith will heal that person. So you've got two things working together. You've got faith and you've got prayer. Because you see, what this word is actually telling us is it's easy for us to say, yeah, but you know, I really trust God for my healing. I really trust God for victory in my finances. I'm really standing in faith that God will give me breakthrough. But if you're not going to pray, it's not going to happen. Because it's the prayer of faith. It's not the faith alone. But for a lot of us, we've been taught differently. We've been taught just believe. And everything will be fine. But you see why prayer of faith is so important? It's because God is all about relationship. God is not all about just fixing us and sorting out our lives. So if I just believe that this thing is going to be sorted, it's going to be sorted. Because God's, you want that done. What he says, I want a relationship with you. I want you to pray. I want you to come and talk to me. Because everything is from that place of relationship. So therefore, faith and prayer needs to come together. Matthew 17 verse 20, which we also read. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, what does it say? You will say to this mountain. That's prayer right there. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. See, what God is actually saying there is, you can stand in front of your mountain, and you can believe it's going to move. But you're going to wait for that mountain to move. And while you're doing that, that mountain is waiting on you to open your mouth. So often our circumstances doesn't change because we trust in God, but we don't step into that place of talking into our circumstances, of ruling over our circumstances. What we talk about when we say this is basically that, what we call it, is taking up authority. That's what it's called. It's where you stand in front of your mountain, you take up authority, and where you realize faith, where you realize what God did for you, where you realize the price that was paid, and number two, where you step into prayer and take authority. And when you speak into that circumstances, when you speak to your mountain or speak to your giant and you tell it to move, and then it moves. I want to give you just a small testimony. Years ago when we worked with people on the streets, the finances wasn't really there for us at that stage. Joshua is a baby, Marie was just born, and full-time what we did is we worked with people on the streets, so our monthly income was 500 rand a month. I think that's more or less what the diapers cost in a month, but anyway. But that's the place where we were at, and in our house, because we had to sell everything to be able to be there and to do what we did. So in our house, our food cupboard was roughly about this wide And I'll say the height about this. And then the depth of the cupboard was like this. So it's smaller than a bed kassie. That was the size of our food cupboard. And the reason for that is because there were only food in the house like for that day. And there was even a lot of times where we really prayed and asked God that during the night our children won't wake because there's no more milk and stuff like that. So it was really going difficult. And what happened then is we got visited by a Zimbabwean family. They were missionaries in Zimbabwe. And we were visited by them. And it was such a blessing to us because I think they had like 5 or 6, 7 children. And being missionaries, I know how difficult it can be. It can be quite tough. And there's people having 7 children. And I just asked this guy, but listen, like, how do you make it? I mean, we're struggling with 2. How do you make it with 7 kids? And he taught us something there that day about what it means to take up authority and speaking into something. So what I did the moment he left is I built ourselves a new food cupboard. That food cupboard was like, it was about 1 meter high. It was about 1 meter high and the depth also about 1 meter. So I built this huge food cupboard. And I took that 2 or 3 things from the other cupboard and I put it there on the shelf. It almost like disappeared there on the shelf. But what I did then is what this guy taught me about taking up authority and speaking into something. So I stood in front of that cupboard, me and my wife, we stood in front of that cupboard and we started to thank God for what we see in the spirit. Because in the flesh it wasn't there. Okay? So you look through past that 2 or 3 cans in the corner and you start to thank God. That's what we did. Lord, we want to thank you for that packet of rice. Thank you, Lord, that it's a 5 kilogram packet. It's not a 500 gram packet for tomorrow. It's a 5 kilogram packet for the next 2 weeks. Thank you, Lord, for the pasta that's standing there. Thank you, Lord, that it's not only baked beans anymore, but now there's sweet corn and peas and all kind of other things on my shelf. That's what we did. And from there, we went to the fridge. Lord, thank you that it's not only mince anymore, but now we're going to have chicken and we're going to have ribs and we're going to have this and that. Thank you, Lord, that there's enough milk in my fridge, not only for the next, for tonight, but only for the, but also for the next 2 days. Sounds funny. But that's what it means. It starts to talk into your circumstances. It's where you take up authority and say, I'm not ruled by what I see in the flesh, but what I see in the spirit. So you stand in front of that cupboard and you ask the Lord, Lord, open up my eyes to be able to see what you see so that I can talk that into being. Because you see, if God opens up your eyes and you can see it in the spirit, then it means that God already said it. Then all we need to do is we need to pray it through. And our life changed because of that. Because we moved there from a place of only having enough for a day, most of the time, to a place of having abundance, where we were able to help other people, also regarding food. Everything changed there with that lesson. And I think so often we need breakthrough, but we don't pray for it. We've got the faith for it, but we don't pray for it. I think maybe like you can see today, I just want to focus on the prayer part. The faith is important with that, but I just want to focus on the prayer part. And what I write here is prayer does not change God. It changes your circumstances. And therefore, it's important for us to pray. But let's look at a couple of biblical examples of what prayer can do. Acts 10, verse 3 and 4. About the 9th hour of the day, he saw clearly a vision of an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." As you continue reading there, what you'll see is this angel talking to him, giving him direction about his circumstances, what he's supposed to do. And what it also says here is that there's two things that came before God, his prayers and his alms. Alms is the stuff that we give to the poor. But it's not only that that came before God, which made this angel to respond, it's his prayers as well. So if we talk about praying, what's going to change if I pray? Well, in the heavenlies, I see things move. Because what I see here is God telling an angel, go to him. He prayed. Yes, he also gave alms. He also helped the poor around him. But still, he prayed. And I want to respond on that. And he'll tell that angel, go to him. Tell him this is what he's supposed to do. Tell him this is the direction he needs to follow. So if he didn't pray, if Cornelius did not pray, you think that would have happened? No. Because what we see in the scripture is clearly God responded on that prayers and sent out that angel because of that. It's all about prayers. I can give you another testimony. Not out of our own lives, but someone else. There was this lady, she was driving a car and stopped in front of a shop because she just had to get out, receive something from someone, something like that, and then get it back in the car and drive off again. So she stopped in front of this place, she get out to get it, and when she turned back to her car, the car is gone. The problem is a child was in the back seat of the car. So what she did then is she's on a group of people praying together, and she sent out a message telling everyone, you need to pray now. My car got stolen, my baby was inside the car, so my baby is gone. And what happened is, I'm not sure how long later, but what happened is they found the car on the N1 or the N2, something. They found the car with all four doors open and the baby still in the back seat. Not baby, it's like a small child sitting on the back seat. And the police got there and they asked the child, but what happened? The child said, no, mommy got out of the car. Four men got into the car and we drove off. And while we were driving, so I said, I was at Wim. He was this man with big wings and a big sword, and he got into the car. And when he got into the car, the other four men, they got out of the car. And they asked about, where is this man with the sword now? And she said, no, he waited here with me until you came, and then he left. It's the power of prayer. I almost want to ask you, what's the difference between this story and the story of Cornelius? The heavenlies responding to our prayers. But I think as Christians, a lot of times we take things for granted. As Christians, I think a lot of times we expect God to do stuff without us even praying for it. I want to read you another scripture. This is a bit of a longer one. Daniel 9 from verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleased for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. who have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame. As at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery they have committed against you. And then I'm going to jump to verse 17, but you can read it. This whole Daniel 9 is his prayer. Verse 17, now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. I want you to realize what's actually going on here. Daniel is sitting there and he's reading through the scriptures of Isaiah. And while he's sitting there reading it, you see here, but okay, Isaiah said, he prophesied and he said 70 years. After 70 years, the people will come back and the city will be rebuilt. So he sits and he read that and he works it all out and you see, but it's 70 years now. So this is supposed to happen now. And the interesting thing is, Daniel is not saying, Lord, you said 70 years and it's 70 years, so make it happen. To him, it's like God did not even say he's going to do this. The moment he see this, the moment he read this, what he does, he step into a place of saying, okay, but this needs to happen. So immediately he starts to fast and he starts to pray. And you can see if you read that whole Daniel 9, if you read his prayer, what you see is Daniel is really in front of God, begging God for mercy. And remember, God already answered, even before he started to pray. God already said after 70 years, this is what's going to happen. But he's praying it like God did not say it. And I think the reason for that is because Daniel realized that even if God says something, even if God has said it, you still need to pray it through to make it happen. And when I read this and when I realized this, I thought by myself, but no, if God said it, it must happen, right? So if Daniel didn't pray it through, what then? Because it must happen. It's the word of God. The word of God don't come back void. What's going on here? But you see, I think God have put this whole thing together that on that day, Daniel will read in the scriptures and Daniel will see it's time. And I think God has raised Daniel up for a day like that of praying through his word so that it can become reality. Because you see, a lot of times I think what we don't understand, if it comes to authority and if it comes to the authority that God gave us, we think we can just sit back and God's going to do everything all by himself. But God have chosen you to work through you. All through the Bible you can see that. God can do anything, but he have chosen us to work through us. So what he does here is, yes, he said 70 years and this is going to happen. And then he used Daniel to pray that through so that it can become reality. Because God gave us all authority on earth. And he does not take it back. He gave it to you. So what do you do with it? Because if you don't use the authority that was given to you, when you use Afrikaans slogan, gaan die pap op die grond val. If you don't use the authority that God has given you, there's going to be problems in your life. Because someone or something else is going to use that authority. Because God gave His authority to you. I want to read you another scripture in 1 Kings 18, verse 41 to 45. I'm full of scriptures this morning. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go again." 7 times. And at the 7th time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. But where it starts there in verse 41, he says, there's a sound of the rushing of rain. But why didn't Ahab hear that sound of the rushing of rain? Because it wasn't the Spirit. That's why he didn't hear that. Because you see what happened there is God revealed his will to Elijah. By allowing him to hear the rain in the spirit, God told Elijah, "Listen, I want to send rain." And what did Elijah then? What did he do? Did he say, "Lord, well, you want to send rain, you're God, you know, you do whatever you want to do. If you choose today is the day of rain, then I'll praise your name and I'll stand back and I'll go buy myself an umbrella or get into the house or whatever because rain is coming." He went up the mountain, put his head between his knees, and he prayed it through. God said it's going to rain, but he realized that but God gave us the authority on earth, so what am I supposed to do? That word that God has spoken, I must pray that into reality. Because if God has said it, and I don't pray it into reality, I'm not going to see it. I'm going to miss it. And therefore, it's so important if the moment God shows us things, that we must realize, but this is in the Spirit, and we need to pray this into reality. I think so often you hear Christians offended with God, saying, "But God said He's going to do this. God showed me that this is what's going to happen. But why isn't it happening?" Christians being offended with God because He said it. But it's not reality. It's not God's job to make it reality. That's your job. God is the one that will show it to you in the Spirit, but it's your job to make it reality. Because you see, as Christians, I think a lot of times what we think is it's all about heaven. It's all just about getting through this life, staying saved, not lose my salvation. I just need to stay saved to get to heaven one day. But then God will ask you, "But why do you think I gave you this authority? If you just want to step back to me, to the place where I've got all authority, why did I have to give you all authority on earth?" It's because you are supposed to use it on earth. It's not for you to get to heaven. Yes, we need to get to heaven. But God gave you authority to use on earth. God wants you to live a life of victory on earth. And you get these messages where people, they turn it all around and make it all about finances, saying, "Yeah, but you know, all the Christians are supposed to be rich and have all the money." And it's not about that. It's about having victory in your life. I mean, if you want to talk about finances, it's about having victory in finances. What does it mean to have victory in finances? It means you can give it all away and it won't bother you. It's not about being rich. You understand what I'm saying? Victory is something completely different than the picture the world gives us of what victory is. It's not about arriving on earth to a place where everything is sorted out. It's being in a place where you are able to rule whatever to over whatever is around you, and where you don't allow that to rule over you. James 5, verse 17 and 18, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. There's no difference between Elijah and you. I'll say it again. There's no difference between Elijah and you. What did Elijah do? He prayed fervently. What does it mean? It means to pray with compassion. It means to pray seriously. I mean, when Elijah sat on that mountain on Mount Carmel and he prayed, why are all of you looking behind me? When Elijah was sitting on that mountain and he prayed, when did he stop? When the rain started to come down. He did not stop when Ahab said, there's a cloud there in the back. He didn't get up and say, okay, that's breakthrough. It's time to go home. Intercession is over. He stayed there and he prayed till the rain fell. He didn't stop before that. You see, because a lot of times I think we ask ourselves that question, but, so if God has said it, then it's done. No. If you have said it, then you need to pray through. It's done when it happened. When it became reality, that's when it's done. The starting point of that is where you pray and you ask God for something or for breakthrough, and where God say there's breakthrough. But then you pray through that, you can see it in reality. If your life doesn't change because of it, then you haven't received your breakthrough. The breakthrough mustn't be only there somewhere up there in the spirit. It must become reality. And I think a lot of times God gave us all these promises and of blessings or whatever, and this stuff is hanging there just out of reach because we stopped praying. We didn't pray through. It must become reality. So if we get back to where we started, I said this, according to me, basically, mainly two keys. There's a lot of things that's important, but the two main keys for you to receive your victory is faith and prayer, the two of them together. And if we talk about prayer, we can go into the will of God and a lot of other things about how do I know the will of God and all that things, but that's like a sermon on its own. I can't push all of that in here today, so I'll do that. But it's faith and the lifestyle of prayer. It becomes reality for us to pray daily. And I almost want to say like Elijah prayed, fervently. Not that normal prayer, you just get it up there and get on with your day. But really pray things through. Matthew 16 verse 19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God said he gave you that keys. That's talking about authority, taking up authority over what's happening on earth, but also in heaven. If you take that key, you can bind stuff with that. And you can release things like that, with that keys. If you take that, if you go into a place of taking authority over Satan and his works over your life, don't you think there's going to be a difference? If you don't take that authority, he's got the authority over your life. So the thing we need to realize, I've got two choices here of who's having authority. It's either me or him. Now what happened is that authority was taken from him. So the moment you pick it up, you've got it. But you need to pick it up. So it's like he's walking around with this bunch of keys. It's your keys. He's walking around with it. Now he knows the moment you come to him and you tell him, it's mine, give it to me, he must give it to you. So the moment you tell him, I take authority over my life now, he do this. But as long as you don't do it, he's walking around with your keys, opening and closing doors around you. But a price was paid so that that can't happen anymore. But you need to go fetch the keys. It's like they spar with someone, they do this competition thing, and they say, okay, but you've won this car. Come fetch the keys. Now, you can run around and go tell all your friends, I've won the car at Spar, you know. It's my car standing there in Spar. But if you don't go there and fetch it, it's not going to change your life. And it's the same with this. It's yours, it's given to you. But if you don't use it, your life is not going to change. Because he will still rule over your life. Luke 10, verse 17 to 19. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan, this is Jesus talking, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. These disciples, what happened here is they went out. Jesus sent them out. And the world changed around them because they used the authority that was given to them. It's like they came back like little children, super excited about what happened out there because they can't believe what happened. And Jesus is in this place of, this is what I told you all along. You've got all authority. Now you're surprised by this, but you've got all authority. And it's the same thing for us. When God is coming and he's telling you, you've got all authority. I think something a lot of times that we actually forget is you're a representative of God. His spirit, the same spirit that made him stand up out of the grave, that spirit is inside of you. You are a temple of God. So the moment you step into a place of talking into circumstances, according to that circumstances, God is saying. And that circumstances will respond on that. So if there's a bad situation, if your circumstances is not good, and you get into a place of talking into it, saying, I'm not accepting this. Thank you, Jesus, for the authority that you've given me. I come now in Jesus' name and I pray that my finances will change. Lord, I pray over this food cupboard that this is going to change. This is the last day that there's 3 cans in this cupboard. You see, according to that cupboard, you need to get this. According to that cupboard, according to that 3 cans on the shelf, God is saying, this is the last day. That cupboard, that food cupboard will respond on that. Because that's the power of God. But if you stand in front of that cupboard and you tell yourself, tomorrow there's probably nothing. That cupboard will respond on that. And tomorrow there's not going to be anything. Because what you have spoken is the word of God, and reality will change because of that. So you need to realize that whenever you open your mouth and you speak, you can choose to speak either a blessing or a curse over yourself and over your circumstances. You know, it's that thing of, example out of my life at this stage, and some of you know about it, bad service that you're getting from places. I didn't want to go into that. But if I stand up in the morning and say, yes, now today is not going to be any different. Today they're probably going to say that. I prophesy that out of the temple of God, where it will become reality. So therefore, it's so important that when you open your mouth, that you choose to give blessings and not curses. Because a lot of times we don't only curse people around us and circumstances around us, but we curse ourselves. And that's not walking into in a place of having, well, you've got the authority, but you're using it wrongly. So it's working against you. And therefore, it's so important that we need to realize who we are. We need to realize the authority that we've got. I once heard this testimony of, I'm going to finish with this. I heard this testimony of a girl. She was a Satanist. And she said, but, you know, she don't understand the Christians. She said, because she's walking on this side of the road. It happened a lot of times. She'll walk on this side of the road. And she can spot the Christians in the spirit. She says, like there's light coming from their eyes. Now she's walking here, and a Christian is coming from the front, and she'll go over to the other side of the road because she's afraid of what she sees. But she said, the funny thing is, they always look like the world has got victory over them. They don't realize what they've got. Because you see, victory was given to you. But you need to choose to take that and to use that. And as Christians, I think so often we make this mistake of thinking, yeah, but, you know, I'm just trusting God. Yes, but now you need to pray it through. If you're not going to pray it through, your circumstances is not going to change. It's going to stay the same. I remember there was a time also back then. Listen, I've got a lot of testimonies out of that period, that 3 years. I mean, if you're at that place where you really got nothing, God just revealed himself. But I remember one thing. We were standing in faith, trusting God for a vehicle. We need a car. And there's no way we can buy a car. I'm not talking about cash, not even paying it off. There's no way. I mean, we're earning 500 rand a month. And we were really trusting God for breakthrough in that, for a car. And so many times the morning, I'll stand in the kitchen, and I was able to see the gate from then, a car comes in, and then I'll ask God, is today the day? Lord, is this the car? Not telling people what's going on in my heart, but being so expectant of God, of what he's going to do. And he blessed us with the car. Someone one day phoned me and said, listen, can you please wait at the gate to have your ID with you? Waited at the gate with my ID, and someone came and he said, but we need to go to the traffic department because God has laid on my heart to give you this car. We must just put it on your name. 45,000 kilometers on the clock. The faith was there. We were trusting God. But I prayed for that. We prayed for that daily. And then we think, okay, but the problem is probably the faith. I don't have enough faith. Talks about faith and size of a mustard seed. You know the size of a mustard seed? If I take a pin and I make a dot on that wall, that's the size of a mustard seed. That's all the faith you need. That's what Scripture says. But you need to pray through. And the Word also says, if you need more faith, just ask that and you'll receive that as well. What I want to finish off with is, so what will happen if I don't pray? The answer is nothing. So is that what you want to happen in your life? Nothing. Because that's not what you were called for. Can you close your eyes? Thank you, Father, Lord, that Father, that we can be in this place. Thank you, Lord, that to me it's like you cried out victory over this building this morning, declaring you want to bring victory in each of our lives. So, Father, I can just say this morning that you have already said it. So all we need to do now is to pray through. And therefore, Father, my prayer is for each of us that we will realize that that keys of receiving victory, of receiving breakthrough, wherever we need it, you've already given it to us. It's in our hands. Now we must use it. Father, I think about the Lord's Prayer where you said that we must pray. Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven, also on earth. So Lord, what you said there is we must pray your kingdom down to this earth. We are the ones that must pray so that that can become a reality. That your kingdom on earth can be established. Like it is in heaven, also on earth, meaning also in our lives. That your kingdom will be established here. And therefore, Father, we just want to thank you for today. But Father, I just want to pray a blessing over every person here. I want to ask you, Father, that you will bless each person. Father, thank you for every person here. Thank you, Lord, that you've given each of them. You've given them faith. The faith is there. Thank you, Father, that you will stir something in our hearts to pray. To pray more and to pray fervently. Not to take things for granted, but to realize that we need to pray through whatever you said. And it will become reality. So, Father, I pray for victory in the life of every person here. Father, I want to pray for victory over Windhoek. But, Lord, I also want to pray for victory over Namibia. And for this world. Father, that you will become visible. And, Father, what I know is that can only happen because of the prayers of your saints. Because you already said it, Lord. You already said it. The only thing keeping it back is us. Because we're not praying it. So Father, help us to step into that place of praying through all your promises. So that it can become reality. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thanks everyone. There's coffee and tea in the back. I do want to ask if there's anyone. Do you do believe there's power in prayer? If there's anyone that needs prayer for anything, please come to the front. We would like to pray with you. Just hang on a moment.
Okay, hello everybody. Most of you know me. I'm farming there in the Kalahari Desert. And as you can see, I changed a bit color since I left here 3 years ago. In the scorching sun of the summer, our faith was really challenged regarding rain. And then one morning I woke up and the Lord told me, have faith like a mustard seed. Go and Google what really is mustard seed. The nutritional value of that plant is extremely good. Really, really, really good. It's actually some of the best nutrition you can get. And go and look how big that tree can grow. So what is God actually telling you regarding mustard seed? The power of that seed is incredible. Just think about that little seed. It's not the smallest seed in the world. But that little seed has got so much power in it. And that's the comparison that God tells you. Have faith as big as a mustard seed. And guys, on the 5th of December, we had an auction in Arenos, and the one guy told me, and he gave me 10 reasons why it's not going to rain this year. 10 reasons of signs that he could see. And what happened? I told him that specific day when Israel came again, against the Red Sea. What did God do? He saved them by changing nature. And I said, El Nino is a fact. But God is stronger. On the 10th of December, I got my first rain. And the farm is green. And for the past 3 years, farmers around me experienced drought. I never. I never experienced drought because I believed.
Okay, Rachel.
No, just quickly share two things with you. When Philip spoke on authority, I was reminded of a situation in my life once. It's nothing major. It was actually quite funny, but it was just the impact of it just reminded me. I went to a house dance at Stellenbosch, and I made a huge bouquet of flowers for the girl to say thank you for taking me. I didn't like it because it was something that... it was sort of a, you can't take the bouquet of flowers with to the house dance because it will get in the way. So at that stage, I said, that's stupid. So I made the bouquet of flowers, and I made a small bouquet of flowers that you could actually carry around and take to this dance. So we went to the dance, we enjoyed the dance, and then afterwards, we were leaving, and as we left, I looked at her and said, where's your bouquet of flowers that I gave you? And somebody took it. I said, what? Can't be. No, somebody took it. It was gone when she got back to the table. I just stopped there. I went back into this hall. And I just, this person that took these flowers, something's going to happen. Because I thought a guy thought, okay, he's going to give it to his girl now and impress her. And as I walk in, I see this girl coming out of the door with the flowers in her hand. And it's like, what do I do now? Because I want to get this guy and punch him in the face or do something like that. And now it's a girl. It's like... And I just walked up to her and I said, thank you. I took the flowers and I walked away. And I could just see on her face, it's like, you, and it's that authority. It was just something that impacted me. It's my flowers. You can't take what is mine and try and keep it to yourself. And it was so funny to see her face. And a friend of mine was there. He wanted to die laughing because he said it was so amazing. Just her face, she could not. To say or do anything, she realized she was wrong. She can't keep it. And it was just such a beautiful picture of authority for me because it was mine. It was not yours. I did not give it to you. So you cannot keep it. So I took it back without being ugly with it. I just said thank you. And she gave it back and she could not resist it. That's the one part. The other part I actually wanted to share just after worship. But it's just something that the Lord led my hand. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and shout to him joyfully with psalms. This is Psalm 95, sorry. For the Lord is great and the King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. And in the day of trial, in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is the people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, it's quite beautiful, but it's also quite harsh. And it's just that place of authority as well, and faith, as Philip said. Because there were so many, when Israelites were basically at the Jordan, they needed to go into the promised land. There were only two people that actually had the faith to say, but God gave this land to us. No matter what it might look like, what the people that we will face look like, and that was their faith. And then the other part of that faith was when the Israelites were so scared, they said, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And that was their faith. And they spoke it. And that is what happened to them. And God could not allow them to enter into that place with that faith in their hearts. What faith do you have in your heart here today? Do you have rebellion against what God has promised you in your life? You say, this is impossible. It cannot change. My past, it does not allow me to speak what I have in my heart or to grab hold to the promises that God has given to me. If you have that promise in your heart and you just can't accept it, you just have to turn your heart and say, God, I need this. Even though I can't see a way for this to happen, I want to have faith to know that it will happen. And as Geest has already testified, an amazing testimony. I mean, there are so many beautiful stories that we can all testify of. And that's part of our promise. We just need to have that faith and say, God, I'm holding to that. So if you're here today and you just feel I've stepped off that road that God has called me to walk on, to walk in faith, not by sight, but by faith. We just want to help you on that road again. We just want to lay our hands on you and say, God, just give us that faith. Let's just close our eyes. Father God, we just want to come this morning, Lord, and just say, Lord, we want to raise our hands to you, Father. We want to bow our knees, Lord, and glorify your name to say that you are God of creation, Lord God. And you're the God of our faith, Father, and we want to hold on to that faith that just abounds in our hearts, Lord God, that we want to hold on to, Lord, that it becomes reality, Lord God, as Philip has said. Father, we just want to glorify your name for that amazing word, Father, that we're able, Lord, just to put our hearts and our faith out in you, Father. And you are a God that is good, Lord God, and you will not forsake us, Father. And we just want to thank you for your loving care, your loving hands, Lord, that just surrounds us and protects us. And just provide, Father, for every need that we have, even in this place here today. Father, we pray for those hearts, Lord God, that are filled with rebellion, Lord God, that knows your word, Father, that knows your love, Father, but it's just somehow being driven to one side, Father. Well, Lord, we just pray for those hearts, Lord, to turn to you again, Lord God. Just to turn to your word, Father, and just say, Lord, here I am. I know I've made a mess of things, Lord. I've made mistakes, but I just want to turn my heart to you again and just say, here I am, Lord. Take me as I am. Change me again, Father. That we have that faith to believe in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.